Hi, friends. You are about to listen to our series with Dan Butler on his book, Permission to Be Great. Now, during the edits, we realized we did not let you know where you can find information on Dan. So we wanted to do that now. Dan's website is www.danpbutler.com, and he can be found on Twitter at Dan P. Butler. His book can easily be found on Amazon or through Dan's website. Final note, I do apologize for the fact that our audio during this series sounds as though we recorded it in an empty auditorium. We played around with our technology to get three mics going, and I must have missed something somewhere. Enough with that, here is the show. Welcome to the School Talk Podcast. I'm Greg Demar. Sitting across from me is my friend and co-host, Jenny J. Hill Pillerin. And this is the podcast where Jenny and I get together and talk anything school-related. Jenny, how are you doing?
I am great. How about you, Greg?
Doing fantastic. Getting ready for Thanksgiving, which in real time has already happened, but yep. It was probably great.
You had a big day getting ready for Thanksgiving at school.
Yes.
You need to share what you do.
We fed 50 people. Thanksgiving dinner.
And you fry turkeys.
Did do the fried turkeys.
That's amazing.
It's fun. It's fun, but I didn't do it alone.
Yeah, you did not do it alone. You did it with Dan Butler, who is also sitting across from us. And Greg and I are really excited to introduce a new series of our podcast that is going to share information from Dan's new book called Permission to Be Great, Increasing Engagement in Your School. So I had the pleasure of working with Dan as a teacher way back in our early days. As it progressed, Dan became an administrator quite a few years ago.
Some time ago.
Yeah. I worked with Dan as an instructional coach, not in your building, Dan, but definitely did a lot of things with you through that coaching role, administrator role. And now I'm actually very honored to say that I am in administration right alongside Dan. So I'm getting to know Dan even more on that administrative level. So I was able to read the book this summer, and I think all of our listeners are in for a real treat. So Dan, thanks for joining us. And we're excited to talk about your new book, Permission to Be Great.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg and Jenny. I'm honored to be back.
Now, caveat, since this is a series, Dan, you're not going to get that big of an intro every single time. It's just going to be like, hey, we're back.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm out.
I don't know.
Okay,
I think I could, you know, rattle that off every time. Yeah.
Dan's also been on the show before. So not only is Dan a friend, a principal that I get to work with, but also I would say a friend of the podcast, as I think this will be your fourth time joining us. I believe we did two on burnout and one on the importance of educators being needed right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm honored to be back. It's great. I love the show. I love the new title of the show, School Talk. So it's a fantastic podcast. I'm just honored to be part of it.
Dan, kind of share with us a brief background of how you came to write the book.
All right. So I completed my doctoral dissertation about a year ago. And what I was studying within that was the impact of positive psychology and how that could impact educator burnout. And I found some really good things that positive psychology can make a difference. In fact, a significant difference. And as I was digging into that study and learning more about it, obviously you guys know working in Western Dubuque schools, we've done a lot of work with positive psychology over the course of the last 4 or 5 years of training, providing supports to all of our staff, from teachers to bus drivers to food service employees to paraprofessionals to administrators, everyone, in terms of what are these positive psychology principles, how can we weave this into our culture, and will that impact our students and each other in a positive way and lead to better outcomes. And it's been very positive and enjoyable within our district. And obviously, I've got a passion for that, so I wanted to study that within my dissertation, and I did. Then after that, I was approached, about a week after I defended, by two of my good friends, Jeff Zoll and Jimmy Costas, and they asked me if I would like to write a book for their new publishing company, ConnectEd. And I said, I think I have something that I would like to write about. And basically, what I wanted to do with Permission to Be Great is take my dissertation and put it into a form where someone would actually read it. other than my dad. I think maybe seven people outside of academia will read a dissertation. Hopefully more people than seven will read Permission to Be Great, but that was the thought of how can I take what I learned within a dissertation, frame that up into a book with stories, with some actionable research, some actionable topics and tactics and strategies to really increase the engagement of all educators. So that's what I was hoping to accomplish within the book. And things just have a funny way of working out. The timing was amazing. And it was a really, in the midst of a pandemic, 2020 was one of the best years of my life.
So I think you nailed that as far as the idea of having it be something that people can easily pick up and read. Like, I think you're going to get the idea as a listener that maybe you should pick this book up and purchase it and make sure you have a copy. So I would encourage you to do that. There are a ton of little things that you can pick up and do almost next day, which is great. And I feel like for the course of the series, I guess selfishly, I feel like I've been in a really cool area with you as you've kind of gone through this journey of writing the book and as well as through your doctorate work, because there's a lot of times as I was reading the books, it's like, oh, like I remember this conversation in your office where it's like, that led to video learning teams, or that led to this way to acknowledge staff members and so forth.
I think for me, Greg, it's exactly what you just said. As I was reading it, being familiar with some of the work that we've done at the district level, being familiar with even some of the conversations that, you know, Dan, you and I have had, or Greg, you and I have had about positive psychology and some of the different readings that we've done in the past, that it was kind of one of those things for me that just all came together into one collective piece that brought everything together that we've been working on and talking about over the last few years into one piece. So, you know, for new readers who have never read the book, you might say or think, hey, you know what, that sounds like another book that I want to read, or hey, that's a really good idea. Like, you're going to get so many ideas out of the book. And I think for us, or for me personally, it was just one collective book that I can now read that has all of the ideas that we've really over the last 4 years covered and talked about into one place.
Well, that's great feedback, because that's what I hoped to accomplish, is taking really trying to put as close to a leadership manifesto as I could put into the pages of things that I'm very passionate about, and putting it in kind of a one-stop shop of all that we've done collectively over the course of these many years. And both of you have worked through many of these topics and content with me, of just different scenarios and things that have come up. So anyway, it's been really a labor of love. I'm just very pleased with the product.
Now, as a listener, if you're sitting there thinking, like, what is this positive psychology stuff that you keep talking about? That would be our happiness series, which we kind of dive into 12 episodes all about that. So if that's intrigued you, go check that out. But moving forward, Dan, could you explain a little bit about burnout specific to the field of education?
Sure. So what I, as I mentioned to the listeners, so my dissertation was called Impact of Positive Psychology in pre-K through 12 settings. And really what I wanted to look at was, are there practices, are there tactics, are there things that a district does within their culture that would impact educator burnout? And when you think about educator burnout, like, what does that mean? I think we all have a preconceived notion when we hear burnout. We kind of think of that person that you see at a computer screen, their head's buried in a whole stack of papers, and they're just looking down, eyes closed, looks like they're exhausted. And I think, like, exhaustion and burnout are, like, synonymous, right? But there's more to it than that. So really, what is burnout? Well, there's three dimensions that I use from my definition that I work from with burnout. So first off, that first dimension is, in fact, emotional exhaustion, all right? I am worn down, I am beat emotionally, possibly even physically. I might even start to have some symptoms where my stomach is hurting, I've got massive headaches all the time, and I just can't get things done, and I'm just exhausted, I'm done. I think we all know that feeling, and I think when we think about that, that's what we associate burnout. But also there's another dimension. So, like, depersonalization is the second dimension. And basically, that's withdrawing yourself from other people where, you know what, I don't even want to be part of that anymore. I am removing myself from the problem. It's kind of like an unfeeling, like I really don't care what happens to some students because I'm just so checked out and I'm so done. I really don't care what's going on with my colleagues because I can't give that energy. So that's the second dimension. And the third dimension is, okay, so I'm exhausted. I'm kind of removing myself, that depersonalization, right? Then the third one would be, maybe I'm not being as effective right now, so I have a lack of personal accomplishment or a lack of efficacy. I'm losing my sense of being that educator that I thought I was. Maybe I am just not nearly as confident. I'm not feeling accomplished. I'm not feeling good about what I'm doing. If you've got all three of those dimensions going on, that's a bad spot to be in, right? But, and to be burned out, you don't need to be negative in all of those areas. One area, yeah, you can be absolutely emotionally exhausted. Yes, you're burned out. However, it's kind of those are the dimensions that you kind of go through. You're exhausted, kind of removing yourself, and then all of a sudden you're losing your sense of personal accomplishment. Okay? So that's what it is. And then if you bear with me, I'll just go like, how does that happen? Like, how do we get burned out? And that's what we're going to talk about in this series is like how it happens and then really what can we do about it? So when I think about burnout, how does it happen? Well, there's many factors, but the first is a conflict between the worker and the work environment. And the first one is workload. Like, how much is there to do? Not enough time to do. There's too much to do, not enough time to do it. When there's a mismatch between the worker and the work environment in these different areas, when there's a conflict there, the greater the likelihood you're going to burn out. That first one is workload. A second conflict or mismatch would be a lack of autonomy or control. So like you're feeling as though you're micromanaged, all right? A third mismatch would be what I call in the book ERA. So encouragement, recognition, appreciation. When there's minimal amounts of that, you're going to feel that you're not seen. You don't matter, you're not important, and we all want to be seen, right? The fourth would be a lack of community or lack of positive relationships. The fifth would be a lack of fairness. So decisions are being made that you feel are not in a fair or just manner. And then the sixth would be a conflict between individual values and organizational, school, district core values. When there's a mismatch between what I believe, what I stand for as an individual with my organization, when those are in conflict, the greater they're in conflict, the greater the likelihood that I'm going to be doing work that I don't feel great about. I'm going to be more getting toward that level of burnout.
So as you kind of talk through there, what's really neat, and from my perspective, like when I think of burnout or when I think of someone who would be burnt out, and I think even as a culture, we would say like it's number one. Like it's the first one. It's the workload, which then like we throw all our solutions at that one little piece. So maybe it's, all right, maybe we can't take some work away, or maybe we can, so we take work away. Well, it didn't fix the problem. Or we can't take work away, so maybe we add more incentive to try to make it at least worth the extra time and energy to make it work, but it's not solving the problem. And I think, like you just stated, it's because there's more to burnout than just the amount of work we have to do. It's all those other five elements of burnout that are coming into play, and I feel oftentimes it's so easy just to try to hit that one thing, that let's try to hit workload, but we're missing out on some of the more impactful things.
Yeah, I would agree. And like I said, with the three dimensions that I was speaking of, as far as like what is it, emotional exhaustion is the easiest one to pinpoint. Yep, for sure. But then when you're thinking about these six mismatches, the one that gets the most publicity when you're looking online at different Facebook posts, different tweets, or whatever, things being shared, they're so related to workload. Too much to do, not enough time to do it. And that's a real thing, so let's not minimize that. That is very real in today's educational world. Period, end of discussion, even pre-pandemic, for sure. However, there are these other five things that are also contributing to that. And we'll get into this a little bit when we dig in. But if I'm doing purposeful work that I feel really good about and I'm on fire for, it does not matter how much work I have. I love doing it. I'm passionate about it. But if I'm doing work that I feel is drudgery and it's just sucking the life out of me, whether that's contact tracing or doing these different things that we need to do right now within the pandemic, that is kind of like life sucking work that, yeah, that is a workload issue at the time. So yeah, there's definitely more to it than that.
So Dan, I think that's a great place to end. And I just hear the collective moan. Everyone's like, how do we fix this problem? What's going to happen? Well, join us next time, because we're going to spend the next 4 episodes doing just that, diving into ways that we can address each of these elements of burnout. Check out our website, www.schooltalkpodcast.com. You can find all our past shows there, as well as links to our social media. We would love to hear from you. As we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do to make me a better version of myself? Then do it, because greatness is not achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps.
Go be awesome.